But about, what, two Sundays ago, I guess, Mike, Brother Frank dealt with a rat race. And while he was over, now I didn't see any rats running around in here, but while he was on the subject, the Holy Spirit arrested my heart. For 2 weeks, I've had this on my heart, and I said nothing to nobody about the preaching of it. I didn't know where I was going to preach it. Matter of fact, I was thinking I might be going to preach it over in Tuscaloosa. The Holy Ghost let me know. Brother Mike said, Brother Marty, what Wednesday night will be good for you to preach? And I told him, I said, well, I think I start chemo the next morning. And so the Lord put it all together. And Brother Cole had something planned, so he'd be here, I think, the next Wednesday. But I'm preaching on this thought that the Holy Spirit gave us. I was delivered from the rat race. Now, what you're going to hear me preach might be too strong for some of you. I don't know. It might be too weak for some of you. But I have no intentions, no motivation of singling out any particular person. If the Holy Spirit of God speaks to my heart or your heart, that's up to Him. Amen. And thank God He can speak to our hearts. He has no trouble doing that. He's a master at drawing people to Him when He gets ready to draw them to Him. None of you in here that are saved were saved by chance, nor were you saved by choice. You were saved because you were chosen. And in God's due season, He came to you and He drew you to Himself and He saved you and He took you out of the rat race and so changed your life that you became a brand new creature in Christ. So I think He's going to put it up on the screen, the title and the verse that I'm going to be using. As a matter of fact, since I talked with Keith, this is a P.S. to the rat race. Yeah, how many of y'all ever had a P.S.? Okay, a lot of times a P.S. is not good news. And sometimes it is good news. So by the time we get done, you'll have to determine whether or not you're getting a good P.S., amen? So Ecclesiastes 9 and 11 and 12, that is the text tonight. And it's an easy text once you have been listening to Brother Frank for a few Sundays on what he is preaching about. You ought to see that the regrets of life in this earth without the Lord Jesus Christ is no doubt a rat race. Every one of us have experienced that. And I ask for the young people to be able to stay out here because I don't know if they visualize already, but they're heading for a rat race. And we've got some precious young people. Boy, some of them on Facebook have got a great testimony, and they testify for the Lord, and I praise the Lord for that. So I'm not pinning flowers on no particular one, but some of them have really been a blessing. You other heathen now, I hope you get right with God. Say amen right there. I was delivered from the rat race. Listen to it. I returned and saw under the sun that the race is not to the swift. He said, I saw under the sun the race is not to the swift, nor the battle to the strong, neither yet bread to the wise, nor yet riches to men of understanding, nor yet favor to men of skill. But time and change happeneth to them all. Mark number 12 also, and say these two verses. They will journey with you through your life. I assure you that. For man also knoweth not his time, as the fishes that are taken in an evil net, and as the birds that are caught in the snare, so are the sons of men snared in an evil time. Now, God's not talking about a born-again child of God. He's talking about somebody in a rat race. He's talking about somebody that's never been saved. Because at an unexpected time, like a fish swimming freely in the water, you get caught by your gills in the net. Like a bird flying freely in the heavens, one day you light on the wrong limb and you find out it's a snare. And you're taken at an evil time when it falleth suddenly, suddenly upon them. There is a way that seemeth right unto a man, but the end thereof are the ways of death. Now he that being often reproved and hardeneth his neck shall suddenly be destroyed, and that without remedy. There is no remedy, nothing but regrets when that happens in an individual's life. And I'm preaching tonight to the faithful folk on Wednesday night. I realize that, and I know that. And Brother Mike knows that as well as I do when he's up here. And it's our desire to be a blessing and to be a help. But I'll tell you something. The only thing that's going to help us in these last days is the truth. And I'm not talking about just truth. I'm talking about rightly dividing the word of truth. And thank God we got some men here in this church that knows how to rightly divide the word of truth. And we got some women that do. So here's where I want to carry you. Paul is speaking of Jesus when he says this. 2 Corinthians 1 and 10. I want you to mark that in your Bible. It speaks of the past, it speaks of the present, and it speaks of your future. Now, if you're saved, you can mark this verse of Scripture down, 2 Corinthians 1 and 10, and you can carry it to the bank because it is effectual. It works. It has to because it's the promise of God. Now, listen, Paul said it first. Who delivered us? Not them. Us. You can't get them to come back. You can't get them to serve God. You can't get them to be faithful. You can't get them to do nothing. He's not talking about them. He delivered us. I got delivered January the 19th, 1969 at 8:45 Eastern Standard Time. Hallelujah. Amen. Hot dog. Woo! I ain't got over it yet. I am prone to get excited when either one of two things happen. When the Holy Spirit nudges my heart or I see a pretty blonde, I'm ready to jump a barbed wire fence. Amen. So Paul is saying, who delivered us from so great a death? Now, you've already been delivered from the rat race. I don't care if your friends are dope heads. I don't care if they drink booze. I don't care how wicked they live. You don't have to be that way if you've been born again. As a matter of fact, greater is he that's within you than he that's within them dope heads that's in your room at school. Or them that you work with on the job. Or them that you rub shoulders with in the neighborhood. Amen. I want to tell you something, folks. Now, I didn't start this yesterday. I started 48 years ago. I got run off from about 3 or 4 jobs for witnessing for Christ. It was the people that I was witnessing to that would come up to me and be smiling and ask me what I thought of this or that. And I'd tell them the truth. And they'd go tell the boss, won't you make him quit preaching on the job? And that's what you call two-faced hypocrites. I got a preacher friend up in Tennessee, hadn't got a bit of use for a Baptist. He's not a Baptist himself. He's saved and loves the Lord. He hadn't got any use for Baptists because most Baptists he's ever worked with, known, run around with, wouldn't know God in a 40-acre field with a name tag on. And Ralph doesn't have anything to do with him much, but he found out I was a Baptist. He said, well, you're one of them saved kind, ain't you? I said, that's the only kind there is. Amen. I'm not in that rat race. No, sirree. God delivered me. I done enough when I was lost to have been killed and went to a devil's hell. I wouldn't take the time to tell you what all I've done, what all I've seen, where all I've been, from prison to county jails. I've been knocked down. I've been hit with brass knucks. I've laid there on a table and let them sew me up, and I was wide awake. Of course, I had about 9 shots under my belt. Hello? I was a booger. You know what a booger is? That's a dried piece of wet dirt. Y'all not with me. Would you please be with? Could anybody get excited like Mike was preaching Sunday and raise your hand or say, amen, Brother Marty, I understand exactly what you're saying. I was there. So Paul's speaking of what Jesus had said. He said, who delivered us from so great a death? Or you could say, from so great a rat race. Now, how did this come about? I'm going to give you two simple thoughts, and I'll be done. I'm not going to keep you long, but don't miss this. Number one, it came about because I avoided the rat race. If you get in the rat race, you will eventually end up in a rat race. Now, this world, nothing but a rut. I'm not a politician, but I want to say something. It's amazing that the very people that are fighting Trump every day of his life, and here's a man trying to do something to help America, to help our men and women. I got a granddaughter on a ship over there right now in the Mediterranean Sea. And if you're on Facebook, you can see them jumping off. They had to jump off 30 foot in the ocean and swim around to the stern and get back on. And she's in the line of fire. They have been sending planes off to bomb ISIS. And she's lost. Are you listening to me? She's in the rat race. She's in a rut. Her mother and daddy, my son and daughter-in-law, don't even attend church like they ought to. They're not faithful. They can't find that right church. Well, if it was right and you joined it, it'd be gone. Hello? I don't give them no slack. Now, I don't preach to them. I don't have to preach to them. I preach to my son about all his life. And I don't preach to my daughter-in-law. I preach to her many times. Now, I just let them know I love them. And I let them know I don't agree with what they're doing. And I let them know I'm praying for them. That's as far as it goes. Hey, it's going to take God to do it anyhow. You can't do it. You can't hardly make yourself live for God, much less anybody else. Amen. Can I say something? The little girl that come to the altar Sunday, she touched my heart because the Holy Spirit, she was under such of a strong presence of God, what she was dealing with the Lord about. Now, let me say something. Don't you get hurt at me. I don't go to the altar and mess with anybody unless they want me to. I'm not going to interfere when somebody's connected up with the Lord. And that little girl got up from there, tears streaming down her face and a smile on her face. And I knew something, whatever it was that happened, I knew something had happened. And I had obeyed the Lord. And I found out later she was rejoicing because of something God had already done for her. And she come to the altar to want to give her some praise, give him praise. When's the last time you done that? Boy, if we could do that more in this church. If when God did something for you that was worth telling him thank you, and you come to that altar and bowed and just went to worshiping him and thanking him for that. Hey, it might get on. Revival fires may go to burning. Hey, I want to tell you something. I've been burdened ever since I've been over here, a little over 4 years, that God had sent one more time to Grace Baptist Church, old time Holy Ghost revival. You say, I'm a Baptist. I don't like that word ghost. Ghost, 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 ghost. I hope it bothers you. I say one thing, without him, you can do nothing. You've got to have God. You've got to have God, the Holy Ghost. He's the Holy Spirit, but I like to use that because there's so many Baptists just scared to death of that word. As a matter of fact, I wish a ghost would visit you tonight while you're laying there in bed and get up on the end of your bed and say, hello. You'd have three exits at your house. Oh, I'll tell you something. I avoided the rut. Now listen to me. I'm here in 1 Corinthians 9:24. Know ye not that they which run? Or don't you wish it life would be so kind to us right now we could kind of just walk along and enjoy it? Hey, most people in here know what I'm telling you is the truth. We work all of our lives and get down to retiring, and yet we don't have the peace. We don't get to retire and enjoy and lay back and get to do the things that we thought we'd love to do because we got to do this and we got to do that. We got a youngin' doing this, got a youngin' doing that. We got to go over and babysit. We got to do this, got to do that. I want to say something. We are living in the nasty now and now. See, in the sweet by and by is because you're fed up with the nasty now and now. It's a rut. And if I let myself, I could get into that rut. Marty, if you keep yourself in the love of God. Marty, if you build up yourself in the most holy faith. It's Marty Few. Barb cannot get me out of the fellowship of God. Tip can't get me nowhere. Ain't nobody in here can get me out of fellowship. Hey, you can't take my joy. No man taketh my joy. God gave me joy when he saved me in 1969. And brother, I love it. I just want to see him get to moving one more time. And I can say, wow. You say, well, Brother Martin, he moves in our church. He's not moving like I'd like to see him moving. Well, I'd like to see him moving when you come through them doors and you could feel an electricity in this church. And you're anticipating, what's God going to do today? Oh, it might be this one getting in or that one getting in. What's he got planned today? Brother C.T. Townsend's in a youth meeting up in Gatlinburg, and last night 26 young people got born again. I think there's 1,000 and something there. The night before, Brother Kenny Baldwin, Dr. Kenny Baldwin, a black man, got God on him. He preached the first night, 21 got saved. You better believe it's not quiet in Gatlinburg, Tennessee. Huh? See, if you got to watch it. You know what a rut is, don't you? Huh? It's a ditch with both ends knocked out. You get in a rut, you don't know which way to go. Neither one of them will take you to anywhere that's good. So he said, know ye not that they which run in a race run all, but one receiveth the prize, only one person. Who is that person? It's the one that's not behind. It's the one that's not in the rat race. It's the one that's out front. It's the one that's keeping themselves in the love of God. It's the one that's doing what God wants to. Now here's the key. The key to attaining what you need to attain is avoiding what you need to avoid. Now, I'm not the smartest person in here, but if there's one thing the Holy Ghost gave me back yonder years ago, it's a spirit of discernment. There are people within this church, and I can go put my hand on their shoulder, and if God had let me do it, I could tell them, you need to get right with God. You need to learn how to avoid the ruts and the rats because they're not going to ever do you no good. They have no intentions of helping you. They have no intentions of doing you any good. But you can't see that. Amen. I don't care where it's at. I don't care if it's a young person, old person. Doesn't matter who it is. Hey, you get in that rut, it's because you're in the rat race. You're letting the rats run too close to you. I went to the car wash, All-American Car Wash. It just opened up, I guess, here in the last few days. And I wanted to get my... See, I like to get my truck cleaned up so I can get it dirty on the road. Amen. Then when I come back, I get it cleaned again so I can get it dirty on the road. And I went in there and... I had been exercising and sweating to get all this old poison out of my system. And so 3 miles will do that, you know, or kill you one. And it wasn't but 90-something degrees. So anyhow, I'm sitting there in the chair. And this precious little girl, she told me, she said, I'm going to be at my own church tonight, but said, I'm going to definitely come and visit the youth groups. I told her so much about them. And sweet little thing, you can go on Facebook, you know, if y'all are on there, and see the picture. And she looked over at me and she said, Mister, are you cold? And I said, no, honey, why? Well, you got on that sweatshirt. I said, yeah. I said, I got to go to the VA Thursday morning and go back on chemo. And so I'm trying to, sweat out some of this old poison and junk. I don't care. God wants you to sweat. If you never sweat, you're going to die. Hello? Work up a sweat. Amen. Steal a watermelon. You'll work up one then. She come over to me, Barb, and I'm going to tell you something. God touched my heart, so I just about wanted to have a spell right there. She said, "Mister, can I pray for you? All them other girls that work in there cleaning them cars up and everything like that, buddy, they sitting there. They embarrassed like some of you young people get embarrassed when somebody around you gets to really serving God. Are you listening to me?" And she said, "Mister, can I pray with you?" And I said, "Yes, ma'am." And that little girl got down on her knees there by me and got me by the hand. And I have never heard such a sweeter prayer come from a 15-year-old girl in my life. And you know what she said when she got done, big old smile on her face? She said, "Preacher," I done told her then I was preacher. She said, "God has given me a burden to pray for people. And I just felt impressed of the Lord to come over and pray for you." And I said, "Oh, that's so precious." And she stood up and she said, "Would you let me take my picture with you?" I said, "Oh, Lord, yeah." And she got one of the other girls. Boy, that other girl looked like she's in a rat race. She couldn't hold that thing. It's a wonder the picture come out. And them others was all busy for all of a sudden. I think he was praying because every one of them had their head down just like that. And she stood there by me and we had her picture took and I put it on Facebook. And she sent me a note on Facebook private and she said, "I didn't do that for me. I did that for the Lord." And I stand in awe tonight at the people that have come by and seen that and make note of that. What are you saying, Brother Marty? I'm talking about a little 15-year-old girl lives here in Childersburg who is not in the rat race, and therefore she's not in a rut. Amen? So how do you stay away from that? All right, I'm glad you asked. I want to give it to you. Proverbs 4, mark this in your Bible, especially on all you young people, if you got a Bible back there, mark it in your Bible. Proverbs chapter 4, verses 14 and 15. Now listen to the instruction of the wisest man that ever lived. "Enter not into the path of the wicked." Now, I've been to Jerusalem and Israel so many times, I know what he's talking about here. Been going over there since 1996. "And go not in the way of evil men." Avoid it. Avoid it. You say, "Brother Marty, Hey, the reason you get caught up in the problems you get caught up in life is you do not avoid it. There hath no temptation taken you but such as is common to man. God's faithful in that he'll not allow you to be tempted above that which you are able, but will with the temptation make a way of escape that you might be able to bear it." Did you know if you get in a rut, you already plan to get in that rut? God will make a way for a child of God to escape it. You're not going to get back in that rat race if you're a child of God. Hello? I don't care what that crowd preaches. That bunch that's always saying, "Well, I'm backslid. Y'all pray for me. I'm about half backslid." Yeah, shoot. Pooey. Baloney. I wouldn't give them a dime for what they believe. Hello? When God delivers you, you've been delivered. He doesn't only deliver you in the past. He, present tense, delivers us, and he will also in the future tense. Look at it, 2 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 10. He'll deliver you every day of your life. If he's not delivering me, I'd already be dead. I could tell you story after this about, and that could have happened to me, and me be dead. Listen. Pass not by it. Turn from it and pass away. I was passing in waterproof Louisiana, and I'm hurrying. I was passing in waterproof Louisiana years ago, and I had a young man in the church, probably in his 30s, and I knew he wasn't right with God, Pastor knows a whole lot more than members want to give him credit for. And God, the Holy Ghost, had me to go downtown one night thinking I was going to go find a newspaper that I was wanting to read an article. It was in that paper. And when I got down there, the papers were gone. And as to where I was going to get the paper, I turned to go up this side street. And as I went up that street, that feller come out of the juke joint about the time I got there at the door. Guess who was standing there waiting on me that Sunday morning at church when I pulled in the parking lot? May went on inside with little old Jeff, and he said, "Preacher, I need to talk to you a minute. I know I shouldn't have been in that place, but I run out of cigarettes." If there's ever been two things that are twins, it's booze and cigarettes. "I don't like you." "That's all right. The devil didn't before I met you." Hello? Hey, my friend, listen, he doth deliver. He doth deliver. God will teach you how to pass by. God will teach you how to avoid it. God will teach you how to go another way. Because, see, the world's got their own way. And if you're not in the way the world's in, they think you're crazy. I don't care what. I tell you one thing I found out about true Indians. Indians will leave you alone if you're crazy. They'll kill you if you're in your right mind. So if there's an Indian here in the church didn't like me and they got mad and come at me, I go, and they'll turn around and go find somebody that's in the right mind. Now, y'all don't believe that. All right, I'm done. Let me get this second point out. Give me 5 more minutes because I want you to hear this invitational number. I'm not in the rat race because I have avoided the rut race. And secondly, because I was added to the real race. I'm in the real race. What I got but is real. Amen. I couldn't work it up. I couldn't get it anyway myself. Baptism didn't give it to me. Speaking in tongues didn't give it to me. Healing warts off of granny's nose didn't give it to me. Salvation came by the grace of God, free and clear, signed, sealed, and delivered. And from the day God saved me, January the 19th, 1969, here's what he done. I'm talking about something that's real. See, I can tell from the Holy Spirit in here right now, somebody's disturbed at this moment. Good. Good. I hope you get worse. I hope you get to where you can't sleep and you got to call somebody. Amen. Hope you can't wait till Sunday and got to get a hold of Mike or Mike. You probably won't get a hold of me. Oh, that old bald-headed rascal. Well, you get a hold of Keith or Leonard, somebody. You get bad enough off, you'll get a hold of somebody. You don't have to worry about that. I was added to the real race. Did you hear what I said? I was added. I did not add myself. If you ever want to be spiritual, now don't take me wrong, but you're to add to your faith. And if you don't add to your faith, you will not learn how to subtract. And if you don't learn how to subtract from this world what you don't need to have in your life, you'll never be able to divide. And until you get to the spiritual division that the Bible teaches you, there will be no multiplication in your life. Taught all through that Bible, Genesis, Revelation, addition, subtraction, division, and multiplication. Sure, I'd have to had my wife to live with me right on down, us both go together. I know a preacher that him and his wife both went to heaven within a week's time. They had their coffins right there in their house. They wanted them in their home so the people in the neighborhood come see him. He witnessed to them all their life. She did. Isn't that amazing? God let them go together within a week's time. But he didn't see fit to let that happen. If there's one thing that I want to be from here on out. I want to please men. I sure do want to please God. I said, Lord, at my age, if you'll open the doors up, I'll go. I will not complain. When I leave out from here in September, Brother Billy, I'll go from here to Georgia, from Georgia to South Carolina, from South Carolina to North Carolina, from North Carolina to Virginia, from Virginia back to Georgia, from Georgia back to Tennessee, from Tennessee to Kentucky before I get back in here in that November. You say, Brother Marty, what do? I carry two changes of clothes at least. And a bar of soap. Hebrews 12:1. You ready? Wherefore, seeing we also are compassed about. I don't care which direction, north, south, east, or west, you're compassed about. Are you listening to me? With so great a cloud of witnesses. I don't care where you went in this world. Somebody lived in that place you're at, and they're there in heaven as a witness saying, keep it up, keep it up. Get at it. Go on. Go for it. Go for it. I'm praying for you. My goodness. I wish I was down there with you. Hallelujah. We'd shout it out. Are you with me? We're compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses. Now let us lay aside every weight. Now, I'm not talking about some of them teenage boys' tennis shoes. They're weighty enough. But, brother, every one of us in here, we've got to learn how to lay aside that weight and the sin which does so easily beset us. God will never, ever let you get sinless down here. If you did, you wouldn't be no earthly good to God. And you sure wouldn't be no heavenly good. I was preaching on a street corner in Woodruff, South Carolina one time in Bible college. Mark, we had to go out and do that evangelism, you know, on the weekend because we was in that class, get credit for it. And man, I just caught up about 9 seats in the wind. I said, there ain't never been but one perfect human being on the face of this earth. And this old boy jumped up and said, and I know her. I thought, Lord God, I don't even know him. You know, I didn't wonder something. I said, sir, who are you talking about? He said, my wife. You know what I found out? I got back to preaching, finished my sermon. I had to find out. Leonard, he said, because I was there that night, she received the baptism of the Holy Ghost and spoke in tongues. I said, if she's perfect, does she still have to take a bath? I ain't going to tell you what he said. And let us run. I want to tell you something. There's a time when you need to learn how to run. When I used to steal watermelons, old Granny, I'm telling you, Granny Barnes had a 12-gauge shotgun with rolled-up meat skin in that 12-gauge barrel, 30-inch barrel. And she'd catch us boys in there stealing her watermelons, and she hit a many of us. I was the fastest one in the crowd. I could jump a barbed wire fence, no effort, with a watermelon under each arm. And them other old boys was burning back there. Y'all not with me. But that meat skin, when it goes to unraveling, it doesn't only unravel, it ravels back up when it hits an object. Boy, she shot at us a many, many a time. But I thought I was big boy. I could outrun them all. I was always out in front when we was running from some kind of mischief. One night, because all my life, listen to me, I was in the rat race. From 12, 13, 14, like that, and on the chain gang and in jails and this and that. And I spent all my teenage years and my young years of my 20s in trouble. Are you listening? You know what finally slowed me down from running ahead of everything else? when that policeman shot over my head and said, I said stop. Buddy, I put the brakes on right then and there. I heard the bullet go across my head. I don't know if he'd have shot me the next time or what, but I wasn't taking a chance. I become the rear of the pack from that day on. If they want to run, let them run, amen. Get in trouble. If you're going to get caught, you're going to get caught anyhow. Is there anybody in here that didn't get caught from something you'd done you wish you had? Raise your hand. You mean nobody will admit it? Thank you, thank you, thank you. Hey, did you know every time you got caught from doing something you ought not have done, it was a blessing and a help to you later on in your life? My daughter Julie, that sat right over there and played the piano and sang in this church, 40-something years old now, she looked at me and she said, Daddy, I want to tell you something. I thought you was real hard on me when I was a teenager. And I really couldn't wait to get away from the house. But Daddy, can I tell you now how much I appreciate that? Can I tell you now that I needed that? And I want to thank you for being the kind of daddy that you've been to me. My son told Mom and I both the same thing one time when he come down in that little basement apartment, Brother Mike. I wouldn't take nothing for those words. In closing, listen to this. 1 Peter 4:4, wherein they, the ones in the rut race, think it strange that ye run not with them. Isn't that something? You got people in your own family, you're not going to go and do things that you know they do. And you're not going to put them down in the sense of being a hypocrite or a Pharisee. You're just going to pray for them and love them. But you don't run where they run. You don't do what they do. They think it's strange that you don't run with them to the same excess of right speaking evil of you. It doesn't matter to me. See, you may be here tonight, and the Holy Ghost is wanting me to give this invitation, and I think they got it ready over there to put it on the screen. I believe they're going to be able to put it on the screen. I want you to listen to these words. These are the strongest words of truth in a song you'll ever hear about a person that's in the real race. Would you play it? The altars are open. Would you come? If you need to come and talk to the Lord, do business with the Lord as he's playing this, would you come?